Hi, I'm Amber May, and I'm so excited to be partnering with FootLocker.com. FootLocker is a known leader for footwear and sports apparel. At FootLocker.com, you can pick your favorite athletic shoe or apparel and receive a discount for being a loyal listener without ever leaving your house. Just use the code AFAMBER3 to receive 10% off your purchase at checkout. That's Adam Frank, AMBER3, when purchasing your shoes or apparel at FootLocker.com.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you so much for joining me today on the Amber May Show. And I have a different type of show today. I don't think we've ever talked about this topic on the Amber May Show, but we're going to talk about domestic violence, a little bit about that, and how do you get victory over that? I mean, where do you go from there? And today joining me is a wonderful lady. Her name is Patricia Holmes, and she is not only a female that's been in this circumstance, but she's also an author. And I'd like to welcome Patricia Holmes to the program.
Thank you so much, Amber May.
You know, this whole discussion of domestic violence stemmed from your childhood, right?
Yes, it certainly does.
Yeah, you grew up watching it. And would you tell us about how it was growing up and for you and your family?
Okay, well, I'm originally from the Caribbean, from the island, the twin island nation of Trinidad and Tobago. And growing up in the 60s, early 70s, my mother, I'm the last of a family of five, and my mother was in an abusive relationship with my father for many years, for the entire marriage. And even when they were divorced, he would come back periodically and still physically abuse her.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, you usually hear once there's a divorce, normally that's when domestic violence ends. And what did that do for you? I mean, were all of you kids scared of your dad growing up because you saw this? What was it like?
I would say that probably my older siblings were probably a little bit more frightened than I was, because being the youngest, then it was still a bit scary for me. There were just really a couple of incidences that I remembered myself because of how young I was. But I would say that there was, pretty much a lot of fear, a lot of anger dealing with my father and his, you know, shenanigans.
Do you have any idea what kind of effect this had on your siblings?
I think for all of us, it affected us in one manner or the other. Maybe for one of my brothers, I know it probably makes him a little bit more gentle with his family and so forth. I know that with me in particular, the way that it affected me is that it caused me to have some issues when I went later on to in my teenage years to choose a mate. I ended up actually choosing a mate that was, by most definition, had exhibited a lot of behavior like my father did.
Isn't that something? And you know, the kids learn from their parents, and you grow up one way and you think that's normal. And so when you see signs like you were talking about, perhaps you don't tend to avoid them because you're used to things like that. Is there any truth to that?
There is some truth to that. I would say yes, definitely. I mean, the traits that I saw in my father, I would say from an early age, I never want a man like that. But then life circumstance happened, and I believe that the residual effects from, because what it does to you is that it, and that amounts to the divorce as well. What it did for me was it made me think that I was not good enough. It made me somehow blame myself for even the behaviors. So what that did was then I attracted a type of man, and the type of man that I attracted because of how I felt about myself, you know, just the self-loathing and not, like I said, not feeling really good about me, the low self-esteem. There was a period of depression as well that I went through. And I believe that it's in correlation with that all of the things that I saw in my childhood growing up. Now, I want to make it very clear. I think that I made some very bad choices myself, and I don't particularly blame anyone else for the wrong turn. So this is not a blaming session, but it's a session really that I've come into that now I want to reach back and help those that are there recognize the signs, recognize the symptoms, and come out of it and gain freedom.
I love what you said, that this is not a blaming session, that you realize that you too had choices in things that happened in your life. Of course, as a kid, you are limited on the choices that you can do because your parents are in charge of you. As you grow older, you have that responsibility to now make better choices. You could do this way or you could do that way. And so I appreciate you stating that. However, we both probably agree that the upbringing, a lot of times will sway people one way or the other, even though you still have that choice and you could still make a better choice regardless of the upbringing. Because we've all seen those stories where these people come out of horrible homes and yet they do very well in their life. So I'm glad that you brought that up. And let me ask you this. Did your grandparents, were they around at all when all this was going on?
Yes, grandparents were around.
Did they do anything to help your mom out with her situation?
You know what? I'm not really certain of details in that area, in that arena, but I know that my grandparents were always a financial support and so forth after my dad left the home, and they were there for her, of course, emotionally as well.
Right.
But my dad had a lot of clout as well in the island that we came from.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I ask that because it's going to progress to my questions when we talk about your life, because you are a mom, I was thinking about what was that like if you would watch your kids go through that, how would that affect you? Because when it happens to your kids, so I know that things are out of your control when they become an adult, but I just imagine the heartbreak, and your parents would try so much to help you if you were in that circumstance. So if you saw your children in that circumstance, I would think that your heart would like go out to them. And I want to speak a little bit to parents that might be watching their kids go through something like this. Maybe later on in the program when we get more of your testimony underway. But what happened in your, let me ask you this, what kind of religious background did you grow up in? Or did you have any at all?
Oh yes, definitely. We you know, the home family, basically, we as children attended, had perfect attendance at Sunday school on an annual basis and received awards. So we grew up, Christian, and I guess the equivalent of it here in the United States would be Church of God, is how we grew up. So it was a very strict background. And of course, I want to make it clear that my father was a troubled man, but I would say that now I could see that he had very very good qualities about him as well. And us growing up in church was one of the things that was, very, very important, both on my mother and my father's side.
Praise the Lord for that. Because the Bible says, train your kids in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from that. And I think that's probably very true in your life, because you said you went astray as a teenager, but you got a great foundation as a child. And
yes.
So then what happened as you got older and you went through teenage? Did you go through this partying stage? What happened? You said something about life choices when you became a teenager. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, during my teenage years, I at one point migrated from the Caribbean to the United States, and we moved actually to New York City, which is a totally different environment from what I was used to. There was a lot that I went through with the transition, and didn't really feel very, very much welcome in Brooklyn, New York as a foreigner. And so there were some things that were going on with me mentally, plus thinking about the fact that I really didn't think I was pretty enough, that I was, you know, that I was good enough, and those factors. So there was a young man that I was interested in, and but I was holding on to my virginity really, really, you know, fast, mm-hmm. and really tight, pardon me. And he was ready to have sex. So at that point, he left me, and that devastated me. And it made me sink a little bit lower. So, and I probably at that point made some decisions that was probably not the best decisions, and started doing a few things that were out of the norm for me, who was basically a really good kid. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, really strong in school, always very intelligent, and always eager to learn, and had a lot of plans for my future. And so then emotionally, I started to kind of crumble and started going into a bit of darkness, where I would say the depression started really kind of taking me over.
Wow. Is that when your husband came in to the picture during that time?
Mm-hmm. A little bit after that, I met my husband, and it was kind of a rebound, and I kind of felt like, you know, it would never get any better, so I might as well, and, you know, get into the relationship. And a little bit after that, you know, he pursued me for quite a bit, and then kind of like as a last resort, I was like, whatever, it will never get any better than this, and I might as well settle. And we started a relationship.
Wow. Soon after that, you guys had children, I assume? How many?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And mm-hmm. when did the domestic violence occur? When did it start getting nasty in your marriage?
The domestic violence, well, we started living together without being married, first of all. And I definitely don't suggest this to anyone, but I think if I had a totally healthy mind and if I was whole, that was my warning from God, even though I was not actively going to church and actively really reading my Bible, I still always had this relationship where I would always talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that the first incident that happened maybe a couple of months, because I moved kind of fast and moved in with him. And well, we moved in together, got our own place, and I was in college then. And the first incident happened, and there was an argument, and there was a fist that went or a backhand of some sort that threw me clear across the room, and I ended up in the closet, just kind of crumpled down almost like a rag doll. And keep in mind, at that point, I would say probably the relationship was as early as 2 months, 3 months old. So in retrospect now, I could say, well, that would have been your warning point for you to leave. That would have been a sign, you know, a red flag, as I counsel people now on red flags and so forth. That was definitely my red flag.
Well, this isn't the end of the program. Make sure you tune in next week to hear the continuing story of Sister Patricia Holmes. If you'd like to get in contact with me, visit my website, ambermayshow.com, or you can write me personally at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.